In this latest Tough Love and Second Chances podcast, we talk with the volunteer president of EDGAR, Tony Bennett, about exciting progress for golf for the disabled and his personal story that is steeped in the game. For people who have never tried golf, there are many perceived barriers to joining in. For those with a disability, these perceptions may well be stronger still. But people may be interested to discover that their route to the fresh air and natural surroundings of a golf course and to playing an absorbing game with proven health benefits is now becoming more accessible than you might think. Certainly the not-for-profit organisation EDGAR can back up the above sales pitch. EDGAR, which represents 39 countries, is looking to encourage 500,000 new golfers with a disability to enjoy the game. And leading this pitch since 2014 is Tony Bennett, the volunteer president of EDGAR, which advises the most influential of the world's golfing bodies on everything G4D, which is golf for the disabled. Because of Tony's background in the game and unique knowledge of golf development, he must be as well placed as anyone to give good advice on the why and how the game can enhance key aspects of our lives.
They may be easy questions to answer when you know golf and its value as a healthy game, but harder for people new to golf to understand. Although golf can actually be highly inclusive and a highly inclusive sport, its culture has all too often been seen as exclusive, something that we're all working hard to change. For the individual with a disability, golf can be a fantastic game. Many of our players who have serious impairments or medical conditions will tell you that golf's made a significant impact in their lives. The exercise, the confidence of learning a new skill, perhaps even feeling stronger and making new friends. Looking at a wider 15% of the world which is disabled, it's a massive potential market for the golf industry, but all this relies on the ability of all in golf to welcome such players and make them value customers. Everyone benefits if we can make this happen.
While Bennett and EDGAR colleagues like to answer those two short questions about golf, it leads to the same interesting questions for Bennett himself. The why volunteer the amount of time and how do you fit it all in with a busy full-time job? Tony started as a tour professional golfer when he was a young man and became a PGA professional coach, an experienced golf retailer, a national golf coach, then an educator and development specialist. He worked for 11 years for the then PGAs of Europe, now the Confederation of Professional Golf, before in 2018 using his amassed knowledge to become the head of disability and inclusion for the International Golf Federation, the recognised international federation within the Olympic and Paralympic movement. Under his steering, EDGAR, alongside carefully chosen partners, has led in the development of G4D to help any new golfer to sample, which means try, participate, which means play on a course, and or compete, take your new skill as far as you can in tournaments.
This pathway is really very important. We're helping our member nations to have everything in place to offer that journey from the very first chips and putts to fun, social golf, and to taking golf as far as they like in competition.
Tony and his fellow volunteers wanted to expand their knowledge and help build G4D. The idea caught Tony's imagination so much that he put in the hundreds of hours of rigour needed to complete last year a PhD at the University of Durham. The PhD seeks to shine a spotlight on golf for the disabled, including why it deserves greater support.
I enjoy working, but it's really about the fact that I love to learn. I've always found myself looking at things and asking why, asking questions. I wonder why they do this or that. What's this for? I think an appetite for work blurs the definitions of what a working day is. If the challenge is interesting, then I'll follow the path. But if I'm working, I'll be full on until finishing, however early or late that might be. But that's not being a workaholic, or at least I don't think so. I enjoy it. I'm also very fortunate that my family is closely invested in golf and also in my EDGAR work.
Tony's love of learning becomes apparent as he tells his story. He was born and grew up in Chorley, Lancashire. He didn't enjoy school learning, but favoured learning at sport, golf, football, swimming and basketball.
I remember I was free to use my imagination and absorb myself in whatever the task. I remember kicking the football against the wall, and I'd be playing for England against Brazil. One moment I'd be the striker shooting at goal, and the next I'd be the keeper trying to save the team.
Tony's father Howard was, and remains, a PGA golf coach of some renown. He coached, among others, Padraig Harrington and the Ireland team, who successfully won the Triple Crown. He didn't push young Tony into golf, but was thrilled when he caught the bug.
I was 12 and then I loved having the opportunity to just go and do my own thing in a place where I felt pretty comfortable. I was out in the open, I could just work at it and then say to Dad, look, I'm having a bit of trouble hitting it left to right or whatever. And he'd say, well, you know, why don't you try this and why don't you try that? Simple advice, really. I would stand on the putting green for hours and hours, and I'd play one ball as if it was me and another ball as if it was Tom Weisskopf, who was one of my favourite players at the time, because he was a big, tall fellow like I was.
A mentor of Howard's was the legendary golf coach John Jacobs, and young Tony would hear it firsthand of how JJ would generously give free coaching sessions to young PGA professionals held on freezing evenings in Blackpool on England's west coast, Jacobs imparting the gold that would help his inheritors to become experts themselves.
Everything that I know starts with my dad, not necessarily because he's given me the answers, but he's given me the mindset to go and search for the answers. I remember very clearly before there were standard cassette tapes, there was a big cartridge tape that you could put in the car, it was like a box. So we never listened to the radio, we just listened to cartridges, and somebody like Zig Ziglar or Earl Nightingale from the United States, who were both master salesmen doing a seminar on a tape. I'd want to listen to Roxy Music or David Bowie, and he'd have this damn tape on. But he was always learning, always looking to try and find the edge. And if you can find the edge, that's where you get the biggest breakthroughs. And that was something I learned by sort of osmosis. He would then talk about some of the great coaches that he'd learned with. And later I'd spent time with Henry Cotton and John Jacobs, which was a privilege. But I only did that because my dad had done it. So I could pick up the phone to David Ledbetter and ask him if I could come and watch him coach for a bit. So I think I learnt a lot from my dad, and the work ethic was from my mum. He left school when he was 15 years of age and went to sea. And he says he wasn't the brightest crane in the box, but by the same token, he was really streetwise and had that kind of worldly smarts that you need. And he learned really well. My mum, she was a great role model. And as a farmer's daughter, she knew what work was. And she knew that the cows needed feeding and milking every day, not when she felt like it. She was practical, a brilliant reader of people, who was able to use her intelligence and her commitment, I guess, to become a state registered nurse for the NHS. And her standards were always high, and to coin an old-fashioned phrase, if a job's worth doing, well, it's worth doing well.
His learning of golf was certainly successful. As a young man, Tony would become good enough to play for a living for a handful of years in the UK, Europe, and on the Sunshine Tour in South Africa. If you watch Tony walk up to the golf ball on the tee today, his is the most unobtrusive and simple of pre-shot routines, before addressing the ball with a quiet confidence. He is someone who knows his trade well, and he still plays off a 1.4 golf handicap. If you get to know Tony well, you are likely to also know his wife, Sue. Sue is much appreciated by the Edgar players as a volunteer helper at tournaments, a fixer of problems, and a sometime player's confidant. But her formal role is as the tournament photographer. Here she takes many an excellent picture as she patrols the course before spending hours poring over the shots to find the best pictures to send to golf's media and, at least as importantly, to the competitors themselves and their families. Tony and Sue were a winning partnership from the start when they ran the professional shop at First Leyland Golf Club in Lancashire for 2 years. Leyland had 1,000 members, many from the famous car manufacturing plant under the same name. And but for Tony's turning up to start work in a car sponsored by Toyota, he got on well there. The Bennetts then spent 11 years at Newark Golf Club in central England. Happy days for the family, including their growing young son, Scott. Together, they created a culture of excellent customer service which inspired loyalty, rather than relying on selling through discount or credit, as was the way then at many golf clubs. 30-odd years ago, visitors to the shop would find themselves being offered a coffee and a chocolate while they talked golf. They would receive a card on their birthday from the pro shop team with a voucher for a free lesson. As Tony's skill set changed gradually from simply coaching the swing to learning to coach people, the second half of the 1990s brought wider opportunity. His family made the life-changing move from England to Portugal. Working as the national coach to the Portuguese Golf Federation, Bennett would lead the coaching setup there. After his time with the federation, Tony and Sue would set up 6 golf academies across the country. His interest in developing people then led to him being engaged as Director of Education and Membership for the PGAs of Europe between 2007 and 2018. In 2013, Tony was asked to offer advice to EDGA, then called the European Disabled Golf Association. As the organisation was struggling in its mission, representing just 8 national federations and 4 individual disability organisations, new ideas were needed quickly. Tony was happy to help and agreed to give his honest feedback. This combined with the years of experience and learning of the then General Secretary, Peter Van Duyn, and the pair discussed where the association was and how Tony saw the future during a 2-hour stroll together around Faro in the Algarve. An enlightening meeting followed by a warm handshake. The two became friends. Tony was then able to create a one-pager that would change EDGA from a collection of very worthy but disparate international voices to a far stronger and bigger structure with a clearer mission while developing the means to succeed. Once this strategy was agreed, Tony set about recruiting fellow volunteers, amongst which were his wife Sue and son Scott, along with close friends who were happy to give some of their time to start the ball rolling. What followed was 4 years of struggle, using personal favours whenever possible and asking for what we call mates' rates to get things done. So let's fast forward to today. Recent achievements for EDGA include setting up the Ranking for Golfers with a Disability, R4GD, in 2014, which became the world ranking in 2019, and it's seen as vital to advance competition at all levels of G4D. Then there is the working with the European Tour Group on the creation of the G4D Tour, where the best players get to play 8 events in 2023 in the same weeks and on the same courses as their counterparts on the DP World Tour. While this May, the RNA and its partners launched the first ever G4D Open, a championship in the imprint of the legendary Open Championship itself. While these tournaments are being played out in the summer, there will be plenty of sessions internationally to train the volunteers and coaches need to deliver golf, while expert volunteers in EDGA's eligibility team are able to classify more players across the impairment spectrum. And this means more players can join in with a 100-plus EDGA-approved or supported events.
To succeed further, we're looking to change the perception of golf that many people have. So Golf for the Disabled allows us to be able to see a very different group of people playing the game. Normally, you would expect to see somebody walking the golf course and playing on 2 feet, of course. You wouldn't expect to see somebody riding in a buggy that's got a spinal lesion and playing golf. You just wouldn't expect to see it, or somebody playing with one arm or playing on a prosthetic leg or somebody who's blind. You wouldn't expect to see these things generally. If you look at it, you'd have to say that if a golf club really wants to thrive, it has to look like the people within its vicinity. We know that 15% of the world is disabled, and we've got statistics for 147 countries. So wherever you are, if you took a 15-mile radius around your local golf course, it would be safe to say that somewhere between 10-15% of that population as a minimum is disabled. So then you look at the local golf course and say, well, if there are the 10-15% of those local players disabled, chances are pretty good that they're not, because they don't realise that they can play.
Meanwhile, EDGA's coaching development is all about giving PGA coaches the tools to better teach the swing to new players. Tony believes this all offers a great choice to families considering the game.
Nice thing about the game of golf is that for most parents, that is, their kids will play or do the thing that their parents do. So if I was a musician, there's a pretty good chance that my son would be playing a musical instrument. Well, in disability terms, you can flip that, because now for somebody who's got a disability, the range of sporting options goes from being really wide to being really narrow. And so now I, as the parent, have got to look at the sport that my son or daughter can play. And so I might well be attracted to that sport, the sport of golf in this case, because my children can play that particular sport.
One of Tony's great pleasures as president of EDGA is to engage with so many players with a disability who, apart from sharing unique stories, often use the phrase golfers first, that is, players who refuse to be defined by their disability. He admires this mindset.
They just do their things. They don't complain. They just find a solution. And that's what I admire. And that goes for everybody. I've always admired the player that says to me, you know, man, I've just gone out there, I've had 38 putts, and then they go straight to the putting green and try and figure out what they need to do. They're doing what's necessary to become good at whatever it is that they need to do. And I think we've got lots of those players within EDGA, but I also think we've got a lot of good volunteers, really good volunteers. And so, yeah, it's an absolute pleasure to spend time around good people. 10 to 15 years ago, I said, look, you know, if I want to enjoy my life, then I have to spend more time with people that I like rather than those who have got a kind of entitled attitude or who complicate and find fault in everything.
Tony wanted to continue on the theme of volunteers.
We just make sure that we have a great group of people, all very different thinkers, and we've got people that are really, really top people within their profession. And we've got some very unsung heroes as well. And they do it in this low-key manner, which is sort of underneath the radar, which is brilliant. There's lots of problems that we've still got to solve. We're not still quite there with some of them, but we'll get there. We will get there because it's interesting. Because of that, we'll continue to dig and pull and try and figure out a way under or round, through or over that problem. And then we'll get a solution for it.
It has been an incredibly busy 2 or 3 years for Tony Bennett, and he sadly lost his mum Sylvia in 2019. To complete the PhD became an endurance test. But as he'd mentioned it to mum, he wanted to see it through if possible.
It's too fresh at the minute to know whether it's satisfying or not, but by the same token, I've learned a lot and I've met some really good people. My supervisor, Professor Brett Smith, I can't give him enough credit. He's an absolutely brilliant man. Just great to spend time with and great to lock horns with him from a learning perspective, to ask those tough questions and then to receive that tough direct feedback as well.
EDGA is expanding now as its influence grows. Bennett says he is always so impressed that there is a team which loves to do a job well that stems from enjoying working with the many interesting people that make up the organisation. The only favouritism shown by him, perhaps, is that he's always ensuring that his favourite volunteer, Sue, is keeping well fed and hydrated so she can keep on taking great pictures on those long tournament days.
Well, if it wasn't for Sue, I couldn't have done anything that I've done, really, and it's through spending time with Sue that I've been fortunate to be able to do for as many years as I have the things that I want. If she wasn't involved in everything that we do, then I wouldn't do it. Simple as that. That's where I get my most joy. But she challenges me. She asks more questions than anybody else I've ever known about anything. She's just interested in everything. So between us, we're pretty much interested in everything.
Meanwhile, his son Scott is a chip off the old block. Permanently curious like Tony and a perfectionist like Sue.
Scott is as sharp as a knife when it comes to the big picture, marketing and branding. But at the micro level, he values relationships above all.
The one relationship that Scott holds closest is that with his wife Rita, who he married last year. And together they are making their way as a family, bringing up Margarida, who keeps testing Tony and Sue's Portuguese. Meanwhile, when it comes to Scott's mum and dad, they're still asking all those questions.
It's very rare that we go somewhere and don't say, did you see that? What about this? How could we apply that? How could we do this? So by far, Sue's my favourite EDGA volunteer, of course. But look, I've got lots of really good people around. The most important thing that you can ever do is to surround yourself with good people. People that aren't pretentious in any way. And I think spending time with people that are energy givers and not energy sappers is also pretty vital.
The how and the why have now been answered. Now it is about working with colleagues to deal with the knotty questions that G4D continues to ask. Having now finished his PhD and just edited his dad's memoir on coaching, Tony can devote more time now to thinking and learning to help EDGA move forwards further. Now we wonder if Tony will at last get time to improve on that 1.4 golf handicap. What does he need to do better? How will he get there? He's still probably playing Tom Weisskopf in his mind as well, and hopefully he'll beat him. The great thing about golf is you keep getting the questions, and they can be the most difficult ones to answer. We would like to thank all our listeners to the Edgar Tough Love and Second Chances podcast. You can find more articles on our golfers on our website at edgargolf.com. Finally, thanks to Martin Maynard from Sounds Good for his excellent sound production on this podcast.